In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The text for my sermon today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 13. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Let us pray. Grant us your Holy Spirit, O Lord, so that as you have opened your heart to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, so also we, by his word, would receive you with glad and joyful hearts, repenting of our sin and trusting in your grace for eternal life. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
If you and I can barely tame wild animals, what makes us think we could ever tame the devil? You may remember the sad story from 2006 in which the Australian zookeeper and conservationist Steve Irwin died from a single sting to his heart by a stingray. Steve Irwin had spent his whole life getting close to wild, dangerous animals and interacting with them. If anyone could do it, he could, and yet he died from it. Wild animals are wild for a reason, and to us, they will always be a little wild. So if you and I are still getting bitten in the hand by our pet dogs, then how is it that we think we would not be devoured by the devil? The devil stands in an interesting place among modern Christians. As Lutheran pastor Martin Franzmann once playfully noted, we modern folk have all been to the devil's funeral and have stayed for lunch. That is, modern society in general has convinced itself that it doesn't really need to think about the evil one, perhaps not even very much about evil, because all the problems that we have are of our own making, and therefore they can be fixed by us as well. As one woman once said to me, the devil is just a medieval myth dreamed up so that we don't have to take the blame for our own sins. But as Franzmann went on to say, after we drink the coffee and eat a ham sandwich at the devil's funeral, we make our homeward way with a little bit of unease and concern. Why didn't they open the casket? And those kinfolk of the devil who served us all those coffees and drinks and mints, why weren't they very upset? Has the devil died? In more playful language, just as soon as we think that all of our problems are our own doing and we can fix them, something horrible happens, something so bloody and murderous as we see in our own day, that it defies explanation, it defies fixing, and we begin to wonder again if there isn't, in fact, an evil one. And if we aren't careful, we might even start looking at our neighbors and our fellow human beings and saying, there must be an evil one, and there must be an evil one. And of course, we forget that we are human beings and created good. So if there is an evil one, he must not be human. Has, in fact, such a creature walked this earth? The experience of our Lord Jesus Christ confirms that he has. You see, our experience is doubtful. Our minds and our hearts are so weakened by sin that we cannot truly interpret our own experience well enough. But the experience of Jesus Christ will never steer you wrong. After his baptism, the Holy Spirit drove him into the desert where he faced the temptation of Satan for 40 days on an empty stomach. The Gospel of Mark does not tell us what the devil said to him. Matthew and Luke do. But the other things that Jesus did in the wilderness tell us well enough what bothers the devil about Jesus. Not only was Jesus tempted by Satan in the wilderness, but he also was with the wild animals, says Mark. And he was ministered to by angels. And the way the Greek puts it, he was with the wild animals, suggests that he was not with them in a way that they tormented him, but he was with them the way you try to be with a kitty cat. Jesus is the Lord, you see, whom a dog would never bite, a lion would never devour, and a stingray could not kill. What I mean is this: Jesus is the Lord of creation who can tame what we cannot tame. In Jesus, peace comes to earth. The lion lies down with the lamb, and the hungry wolves play hide and seek with archangels. Just picture Jesus petting a hyena with one hand and blessing the angels with the other hand, and you have a picture of what he was doing out there in the wilderness after vanquishing the devil. He is bringing heaven to earth. He's bringing earth to heaven. As he preached to the people of Galilee and still preaches to us today, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. And if that is who Jesus is, the one through whom God comes near to his creation in the spirit of peace, the one through whom heaven becomes earth and the earth a heaven, then you know who the devil is and what he wants. The devil does not care if you believe in him or don't believe in him. He can work with both options. What the devil wants, and what he'll use anything to get, is for heaven and earth to fall apart from each other, for earth to fall so far away from heaven that, like a baby losing its mother's milk, the earth simply perishes. And if that's what the devil wants, then you know what it is he hates the most. He hates the Word of God. For by the Word of God, the earth and the heavens were made and still remain. As we read in our second lesson, it is by the Word of truth that God brought us forth. He said, "Let the light be," and there was light. He says, "I forgive you your sins," and we are forgiven. He says, "This bread is my body," and it is his body. What God says happens. He has spoken you into existence. His word continues to uphold this creation. As Jesus said to the devil, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." By the words of God, we live. And since the devil wants you to perish, what he wants more than anything, even more than your suffering or your pain or your death, is for you to believe lies rather than the word. You see, the devil knows that you've been created for faith. You and I, we've been created to believe things. People often say our problem is we don't have enough faith. No, usually our problem is we have too much faith, but in the wrong things. And the devil knows this, and so his trick is to get you to believe the wrong things. Even those who say that they believe in nothing at all have fallen prey to him because they have begun to believe that there is nothing when in fact there is something. The devil's trick is to keep you far from the word, so far from the word of God, that by the corruption of the teaching and preaching of the church and the believing and the praying of its people, he would steal away God's glory and humiliate him. Because again, the devil's greatest tricks are not pain and suffering or illness and death or even hauntings and possessions, although missionaries in the field will tell you those happen commonly enough. No. The devil's greatest trick is to destroy hope. Wherever you see vicious things happening in the world, It is hope that is missing. And the way he destroys hope is by getting you to believe in lies instead of in the truth. He doesn't even do it, you see. This is the greatest insult. The devil doesn't even do it because he wants you, but precisely because he does not. So we must be wise, of course. We must begin by acknowledging the devil can't succeed, can he? He is tricky, but he cannot win, and the battle against him may be won in our lives as it has been won in the life of Christ. For the word that he hates has become flesh. The word has become flesh. It has become a human being, and he has dwelt among us. And this word made flesh, Jesus Christ, faced the devil and did not succumb to his temptation. He tamed what we cannot. He resisted what we too often embrace. And therefore, Jesus lives as your helper, your deliverer, the one who can defeat what we cannot. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, or as the Greek says, deliver us from the evil one. For in Christ, God's word stays with you, spoken to you, set before you, poked into your mouth to eat and to drink. And wherever that word comes to you by God's own choosing, the devil flees. So we must be wise, and we will be wise, not by exploring why there is a devil, or where he comes from, or what happened between him and God, so that there's this fallen angel, and people get all into that. But really, to explore that and to focus on those kinds of questions is to focus too much on the devil, when really you should be making fun of him. And it's also to suppose that we can somehow tame him by understanding him. Instead, we will let the wild be wild and turn to him who can tame the wild. We will turn to Christ and care for what Christ has given us to preach and to teach. And we will see how the devil tries to corrupt that beautiful word with lies. There is the focus of our preaching this Lent. But even more, we will live in the faith that nothing can really silence the word anymore or separate you from the love of God. For the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead, and he lives forever, our great deliverer in every time of trouble. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.